Psalm 46, and in Psalm 46, we're going to read the whole chapter today, Psalm 46, verses 1 through 11. Some of you will get your Bible reading in. We'll read this passage responsively. Psalm 46, verses 1 through 11. Psalm 46, verses 1 through 11. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow, he cutteth the spear in sunder, he burneth the chariot in fire. Be still, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen, I will be exalted in the earth. And let's finish on verse 11 together. Ready? The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. And let's pray. Father, we sure do need you. I pray that you would use the next 35 minutes or so. And I pray that you would allow the word of God to be, as you said in Scripture, the balm of Gilead. May it heal, may it soothe, and may it help us. Some need this truth today. Some need it in a couple days. Some don't know they need it, but they'll need it here soon. Help us to get this truth, please, in Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 46 is an incredible passage of Scripture. As you read it, if you've had a heartache in recent days, recent years, if you'd just listen to the words of the first verse, God is our refuge.
Yes, he is.
And our strength, very present help in trouble. What a wonderful verse. God is our refuge. As pastor of this church, I probably have my finger on the pulse of this place better than anybody but God. I know who's hurting, when they're hurting usually, who's in the hospital, who's got what ailment and disease, and who's got this heartache, and who's got this financial problem, you name it. I probably know it because I try to be a part of your life. If you'll listen today for about the next 35 minutes, I can teach you a truth. Some in here, you need this today. Some, you've needed it, didn't know it, and it'll help some past hurt. Some of you don't know it yet, but there's hurt and trouble and pain coming.
Yes, sir.
And you're going to need it. I want you to listen to me today. There are over 560 wildlife refuge areas in the United States. That's a combined area of over 150 million acres of what we call wildlife refuges. Let me break that down. 150 million acres doesn't mean much to most of you. That's 234,375 square miles. It is virtually the entire state of Texas in size. You could take all of California, all of Montana, and all of West Virginia, and still need a little bit more to equal that 234,375 square miles. That's a lot of area set aside. Now, what is a wildlife refuge? These are areas set aside for the protection of either all or certain kinds of wildlife. In other words, it's private land owned by the government that you can't just go in and hunt and deplete and that type of thing. It's got to stay what they would consider in its natural state so that, remember back years ago in Washington, they were trying to clear cut some areas and they were upset because Spotty the owl was losing its habitat and they gobbled the government, bought up a bunch of areas so Spotty the owl could have a place to live. They didn't realize Spotty the Owl will find another place to live, but the government went in and bought all this up to make it a wildlife refuge area. Now, you say, preacher, where in the world are you going with this? Well, God says in Psalm 46, verse number 1, God is our refuge.
Yes, he is.
God is our refuge. Did you realize these are the words of God? These aren't man's words. These are God's words.
That's right.
David didn't write this. God wrote it.
Right.
He said that his word was settled in heaven before the foundation of the world. In other words, before creation, God wrote the word of God. He gave it to us over a period of time, but he wrote it before he created the earth. These are his words, not our words. And God tells us that he is our refuge.
Yes, he is.
Now watch this. He's the one to whom we go for protection. He's the one we go to for safety. He is the one that wants to be there and be our defense, that standard out ahead of us, so that when the opposition comes, there's a no trespassing sign that says, you can't come here and do that. When the devil's hunting you as a roaring lion, God is our refuge. Watch this. And he puts a sign up and says, you can't cross that line. I'm going to make sure you're not going to cross that line. God is our refuge.
Yes.
What a wonderful thought. He's the one to whom we go to make it through our trouble, our pain, our grief, and the attacks of life. In other words, God offers us a place to go, to be a defense for us. Oh, about a year and a half ago, I preached a sermon called, I'm Not Fighting the Devil Anymore. Some of you almost got upset when I announced the title. Amen, Brother Fred? I decided I'm not strong enough to fight the devil, but I can obey God. In my obedience to God, God will fight the devil for me, so I don't have to fight him. In other words, if we'll just obey him, he'll do the battling for us, and we don't have to fight the devil. Did you know you're no match for the devil? Did you know I'm no match for the devil? None of us are. But may I say this, God is. God can take care of it. And he said, I'll be your refuge. In that time of pain, in that time of weakness, in that time of grief, in that time of attack, you run to me and let me be your defense. God tells us three times in Psalm 46 that he wants to be our refuge. Verse number 1, God is our refuge. Verse number 7, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Then again in verse 11, the God of Jacob is our refuge. God tells us three times in 11 verses that he wants to be our refuge. I'm supposed to be nice here, but I feel preaching coming on. Sorry. Hang on for a second. We'll come back to being nice. The stupid beer bottle is not your refuge.
That's right.
Amen.
There is not a beer bottle in the world that's ever solved a problem. It's created more. Drugs are not your refuge. God is to be your refuge. Running away or just running from a problem is not your refuge. God wants to be your refuge. The average person faces opposition. They face pain. They face grief. The first thing they want to do is run away. They want to act like an animal. If you've ever, I'm a hunter and I believe in taking animals ethically, but if you bow hunt, they don't just drop where you shot them.
That's right.
Now, they bleed out pretty quick. Most of the time, they don't even know they've been hurt, but they feel something, and they run. That's the way the average person is in the world. All of a sudden, they feel pain, and they just start running. I've watched deer get hit with an arrow and run square into a tree. I'm not kidding. I mean, just run. They hit a tree, and they just, till they fall over. They're running, even though they're not alive. Their bodies just keep moving. I shot one here a couple years ago, and it ran into a fence. It was a little six-point buck, and he got one of his antlers stuck in the fence, and it was just sitting up like this. Well, I knew I hit that thing, but its eyes are open. It's looking at me, and you know, when you're hunting, you don't just walk up on a 150, 160-pound animal and see if it's alive. You say, why? Because it'll cut the snot out of you, and you're going to be laying there gutted, and the deer's going to run away. Right. I learned a long time ago, it has a little bit more oomph in it than I do.
That's right.
So I'm walking up to this thing, and I put another shot in that thing. It just sat there looking at me. I thought, what's going on? So I got a little closer and reached out, and I poked it. Well, it got its antler stuck in, and it was just hanging up like this, like it was sitting there, but it was hanging by the antler. It wasn't alive. Crazy thing scared the snot out of me. Wait a minute. That's the way most people are. We run and run and run and run. We're running, for lack of better words, we're running stupid. Well, that hurt me. I just want to run away. Somebody said something unkind. I'll just run away. Somebody, I've got a hurt that's come my way. I'll just run away. I want to run and hide and be by myself. Can I tell you something? God wants to be your refuge.
Yes.
We make refuges of things that are not safe. Everybody doing okay? We face a terrible pain or heartache, and we're not supposed to get mad at God because we're facing it. Did you know that God didn't bring the problem your way? I've been dealing with somebody out of state, and they have a hurt, and they don't understand. They say, well, God could have kept it from happening. I said, God isn't the sinner, you are. God didn't plan for that to happen to you, but God did plan to be a refuge for you and help you if that did happen to you. God didn't sin. God gave his life for us. He gave us salvation so we didn't have to suffer in hell for it. But guess what? The law of sowing and reaping is still there.
Yes, right.
We're all sinners. Proof, we're all dying.
Yes, sir.
We're all in a process of death. I got up at 4:30 this morning. I'm learning at my age, I'm going to keep a bottle of WD-40 beside the bed. I'm going to roll over and just start shooting it in certain spots before I get up so that when I get up, it might not hurt as bad, amen? I'm going to have the doctor put some WD-40 ports in there so, so it's not quite so bad. Now, wait a minute. I didn't get out of bed this morning. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. We get to go to church this morning. I resurrected. I didn't jump out of bed. It would have hurt too bad. Now, wait a minute. Did you know we're not supposed to run away? We're supposed to run to God?
That's right.
God didn't send that ache and pain to me. That ache and pain is being there because I'm a sinner like everybody else is a sinner.
That's right.
My heart hurts for people. My heart hurts for Bob and Tammy and Jamie's wife right now and the children. 30-year-old man that passed away from cancer. My heart hurts. I told somebody, my wife and I drove up to Morgantown Thursday to go to the University Hospital there to be with Jamie, and it was just hours before he went to heaven. And please listen to this statement very carefully. I told my wife when we left, I said, boy, that was a total failure. She said, what do you mean? I said, I knew I was going to fail before I got here because there's nothing I can say that's going to really help anybody, and it's not going to fix anything because we know what's coming. I said, as a preacher, this is one of those situations I know I'm failing. I can't make the pain go away. I can't fix the problem. I can only let them know I love them and what good to look forward to.
That's all I can do. I can't fix it. I'm going to fail. She said, but that's not failing. I said, it is to me. I said, because I don't want Bob and Tammy hurting. I don't want Casey to look at her husband and have to kiss him goodbye and never be able to kiss him again, and he'll be alive till she gets to heaven. Now, thank God. Thank God. 3 weeks ago, Brother Arcola went over and won him to Christ. He and his wife. But can I tell you something? That's a little bit of comfort, but it didn't fix the problem. It doesn't fix the problem. Didn't fix the problem, Greg and Rhonda, that Megan's gone. 4 years already. Or nearly. Good night. It doesn't fix that problem. I can't tell you why. I remember standing there saying, I love you. I wished I could do something. I couldn't. I even failed as your friend at that moment. But can I tell you something? God's our refuge.
Yes.
God's our refuge. My dear pastor friend and hero, Brother Hiles, used to say, life is a veil of tears. Follow me around for a week and find out how much crying you do. It's amazing I ever laugh. Although, the way God makes some of you, he can't help but laugh.
That's right.
Now, wait a minute. You know, when you're depressed, you're supposed to run to God. We're not supposed to run to sin, we're supposed to run to God. We're not supposed to run and hide from everybody, we're supposed to run to him. You know, when you feel like giving up, you're not supposed to give up, you're supposed to run to him. He wants to be your refuge. You've got to keep going, you've got to keep going. You say, why? Because until you take your last breath, God has something for you to do. When the world seems crashing down around you and you're afraid, God wants to be your refuge. You know, God is all we need if we let him be our refuge. God does not inflict these burdens, these problems, and the heartaches upon you. It all happens as a result that we're all sinners. By the way, Jamie didn't die and go to heaven Friday night because he's such a bad sinner. But he is a sinner. Say, I don't understand why God took him out early. No, sounds to me like God took him out just in time, because had he died earlier, he'd have gone to hell. I think it was yesterday morning. I was praying for the family. I was sitting in my office weeping. And all of a sudden, God gave me a thought. I don't know what time it was, but it was early, wasn't it, Sherry? And I texted Sherry and I said, do you realize Jamie's in heaven today because of you and Larry? See, about 8 months ago, they came to church. Hallelujah. Both got saved, both got baptized. God started changing their life. Larry and Sherry invited Bob and Tammy to come to church. Tammy got saved and they started getting their life changed. And through all that, because of that, we were able to meet Jamie on his, what we now know as his deathbed. And I was able to get Brother Arcola there to win him to Christ.
Praise the Lord.
Never happened had they not got saved.
That's right.
I don't understand it all. Why is it that we go back to our sin days of wanting to understand God? It's the same old sin that Satan tempted us with. In the day thou eatest, thou shalt not surely die. But if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you can be like gods, knowing good and evil for yourself. You don't need God. It's called humanism. We want to understand God before we obey. God says, obey, I'll give you understanding later. And you may not understand in this life. You know, God is not this sick dictator inflicting hard times, pain, grief, and burdens upon us because he has some sick thrill that he wants to show how powerful he is to you.
That's good preaching.
God does not take pleasure in you having problems. God takes pleasure in being able to be the refuge for you and be able to help you through the problem, though. God's not sitting in heaven directing all the bad times to come to you. I don't believe for a moment God was happy the day that Megan and her husband were killed. Left a little baby for Greg and Rhonda to rear. I don't think God was happy about that, but God wanted to be your refuge. I think God's having a spell today. Say why? Because God got to be the refuge. Yeah. Brother Brian, I don't think God took pleasure in your wife getting cancer and dying. But I think the day you got saved and you got into this church, I think God had a party. Yeah. You say why? Because God became his refuge. Rhonda, I know God wasn't happy about what happened to Ray. Last May, hit a bear and wrecked his truck and burned up in his truck and went to heaven. 55. I knew he was older than me. One of the happiest, one of the most amazing men of this world is Ray Craig. I don't think God was happy about that. He's not happy for what you face, but God wants to be your refuge. It has been. Larry and Sherry, you know the heartaches you've been through. I don't think God wanted all those, but God wants to be your refuge. I'd go across this room. I couldn't even begin to tell you some of the things that some of you all face in public. But can I tell you something? God longs to be your refuge.
That's right.
My life's verse is Galatians 6:2. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now watch me. I don't take pleasure in the fact that you have problems. But can I tell you what, as a pastor, I take pleasure in? You letting me help you go through those problems. And we get through those problems together. I don't think God was happy when Ellen had her mini stroke here a few weeks ago. I don't think God was happy. But can I tell you something? God became a refuge. I don't think God was real happy with Brother Fred and all the problems he's been through in the last year. But God finally cracked through that old thick skull enough for him to get saved.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. He's supposed to have been dead 4 times in the last year already, and they took him off hospice.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Say, what happened? God enjoys being their refuge.
Amen.
I'll never forget. After they got to church and Fred got saved and God started working, never, as long as I live, 2 people never had any children, don't have any surviving family around them. This is what they said. We finally have a family.
Praise the Lord. Praise God.
Wow. For the first time in their whole life, they've got a family.
Yes.
Can I tell you what that is? God wants to be their refuge.
That's right.
I told Wally. We went into the emergency room just, was it 3 weeks ago? 2 weeks ago? Stupid doctor. He said, well, he's got pneumonia or cancer. One or the other. Can't figure it out. Bunch of idiots. I looked at her and said, it's just pneumonia. 3 different doctors telling him he's got a mass in his lung. I said, the only mass is in his head. It's not in his lung. And it's not real massive either. They were getting ready to put him back on hospice. Hospice did their test and said, mm-mm, he doesn't qualify. He's too good. They didn't know him too well. Guess what? He doesn't have cancer. If he did, God took it away.
Amen.
Now, wait a minute. God wanted to be their refuge. Wally, you know this is true. My wife got mad in the emergency room that day. Have y'all ever seen my wife mad? Miss Wally did, and she found out. Preacher, you're right. You don't want to get that woman mad. She heard that doctor say that. We walked out, and she grabbed my arm. She said, did you hear what that doctor said? I said, mm-hmm. She said, I can't believe he said that. I said, well, you want to go back and talk to him? Yes. I said, don't do it. She said, that was not right. She said, I don't know how Wally sat through that. I said, you got to understand, you're not in the hospital as much as we are. That's just the way doctors talk. She said, don't you ever let one talk to me that way. I said, I'm not going to have to. She said, why? I said, you'll take care of it. Trust me. I mean, she was getting fired up. She thought that was so insensitive. And it was. It wasn't right. Most of those people have the personality of a bedpan. I probably shouldn't have said that. But it was right. Even though we willingly choose to sin and go against God, He loved us enough to give us salvation. He loved us enough to give us salvation so He could become our refuge. Now, let me... Boy, that introduction took a lot longer than I planned. Let me hurry through these points. Number one, God did not create the problem, but He's more powerful than any problem you have. God did not create the problem, but He's more powerful than any problem you have.
That's right. Amen.
I was thinking of Jamie and Casey, his dear wife, and my wife and I were alone in the room with them just less than 24 hours or 36 hours before he went to heaven. And I said, Jamie, God's going to heal you. I said, He's either going to heal you here on earth or He's going to take you to heaven and heal you. I said, are you good with either? And he said, all right. I said, Casey, are you good with that? She said, I don't want to say goodbye, but if it means he's getting better, it's okay. I said, good. I said, let's focus on that then. Let's let God choose. I said, the doctors have done all they can do, and doctors don't heal anybody. They just aid in healing. God does all the healing. Some preacher doesn't get up and slap you in the forehead and say, be healed, and they do the healing. God does the healing.
Yes.
Psalm 46, verses 2 through 4 talk about the different problems that come our way. God created all things, and He knows how to counteract any problem that comes your way. Did you know you can't create a problem too big for God to solve?
That's right.
Did you know it doesn't matter how bad it is? Hey, can I tell you something? Everybody look at me for a second. Don't take life so serious. You're not going to make it out alive anyway. Some of us take way too much upon ourselves. And by the way, Jamie went to heaven at age 30. Oh, such a young person. Yes, but thank God he didn't die before he got saved.
Amen.
Ray was still a young man. At least in my book, 54 is pretty young, amen? It's getting younger every year. Can I tell you something? God didn't take him out early. God prevented other things from coming that may have made it worse for Ray. I don't understand why your dear wife went to heaven. But know this. You got a grandson that God's got a hold of, let me tell you. You talk about a man with a good spirit. Look at Brother Brian.
Yeah. Right.
Just an unbelievable man. I know this. God knew what he was doing. He was able to counteract the cancer. Say, how'd he do it? He took her to heaven. How many would you rather have heaven than cancer?
No.
I don't mean to be unkind. You see, he didn't make us to sin. But he made us to live without sin. Did you know God made your body to live without sin? But you chose sin, and because you chose sin, you chose the sickness, the pain, and the death that comes with it. God made your body to live, not to die.
Yes, sir.
That's why death in the process of sometimes is a big struggle. Because it's contrary to what God made your body to do. Everybody doing okay? See, God loves us in spite of our sin and made heaven available for us and a refuge to be for us in spite of it. There's no problem so big, no burden so heavy, no grief so bad that God can't be your refuge. Now watch this. He didn't say he would change the problem. God never one time says he's going to change the problem. He said he'd be your refuge while you had the problem. Don't get mad at God when the problem comes. Run to Him and let Him be your refuge. He may not change the problem, but He can help you get through the problem.
Yes, sir. That's right.
When Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego got thrown into the fiery furnace, God didn't take the furnace away. But He went into the furnace with them and brought them out of the furnace.
Yes.
They still had to go through the furnace. Everybody doing okay? He didn't change the fact that they had to go in. But they did come out because God is their refuge. Matter of fact, they said, our God's able to deliver us. But if not, they weren't sure they were going to come out alive. But if not, they were going to be in heaven anyway. Amen. So, number one, God did not create the problem. He is more powerful, though, than any problem we have. Number two, God can be our refuge when we continue biblical principles in the midst of the problem. I want you to notice verse number 5. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. God says this, when we follow his plan right here, guess what? He becomes your refuge, and you can make it through any problem you have. Promise you. Promise you. You know, we tend to think that when things are going wrong that and we face opposition, that we're going the wrong direction. Can I tell you something? The devil doesn't oppose that which is going the same direction as he.
Right.
This church will face opposition. Can I tell you why? We're going against the devil. You as a Christian are not immune from problems. You'll probably get more. Because you're now going against the devil, not with the devil. This hocus pocus garbage out there, oh, just trust Jesus and all your problems go away. That's garbage. The very Jesus they talk about got crucified. How'd it go for him? God never promised to take all your problems away. He did promise to help you go through those problems, though. God wants you to rest on his principles while you're in his refuge so that he can take care of the problem his way. Can I tell you something? God knows better how to get through what you're going through than you do.
That's right.
Do you know you don't have one problem God hadn't faced already with somebody else in the world? You know, God knows exactly how to help you through the problems you have. You know, it doesn't surprise God that you have a problem. He has the answers, and you're supposed to follow what he said.
Yes, that's right.
That's like the guy that works at McDonald's pushing the fryer button that goes beep, 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 because he put French fries in a basket, dropped it in, pushed the button, and waited 3 minutes for it to go beep, beep, beep. It's amazing how the guy that knows how to put frozen French fries in a basket, put it in hot grease, and push a button and wait for the button to tell him when to pull them back out, he knows more about how to run McDonald's than Ray Kroc. That's the owner of McDonald's Corporation. He knows better how to run the store, how to make more sales. He knows more about McDonald's than the guy who owns all of them. Now watch this. That's like the Christian saying, God, I'm going to do it my way. I don't need what the Bible says. That's these churches that say, well, we can use any Bible we want. We can have praise and worship services and jump around and have rock music. And we can have, we'll just put Christian words to the world's music and it'll be okay. And we can have our casual services and we'll have our, we're just too formal in our services. So the preacher comes in his turtleneck suit or turtleneck sweater and sits on a chair with his little Garth Brooks microphone and his outline and follow the bouncing ball. Bless God. God said, by the foolishness of preaching, you change them.
Amen.
I happen to know when you do it God's way, it works out best.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense to man's way because it's contrary to us because we're not God.
That's right.
When you and God disagree, obey God and go forward. That's all that matters. God wants to be your refuge. He gave you the rules. He gave you the methods. He gave you the words. Let's follow it and we'll make it through together when he's our refuge. And number three, I got to hurry. Be still doing all you were doing before the opposition came. Let me teach you something. Verse number 10 says, be still and know that I am God. That term be still doesn't mean like you're supposed to sit in church. Brother Stoltz, be still for a second. Now, wait a minute. I'm being still too. You say, what do you mean? Still doesn't mean not moving. It also means continuing. Still doing what
you were doing. God says, be still doing what you were doing when the pain, the burden, the opposition comes, and know that I am God, I will be exalted. He said, don't stop doing what you were doing when it came. Everybody doing all right? I know churches that believe in knocking on doors till knocking on doors becomes hard, and they quit knocking on doors because they say, well, it doesn't work anymore. You're not supposed to do it because it works. You're supposed to do it out of obedience to God. We're not supposed to just preach the word as is. We're supposed to make it culturally acceptable. Well, you found somebody's not culturally acceptable. Amen. We have a men's room and a ladies' room. We don't have a room that says to be determined.
That's right. Amen.
Sodomy is still sin.
Yes,
right.
That's right. Praise God. That's right.
I believe a man and a woman that live together ought to be married, not shacking up. You say, you're old-fashioned. Thank you. I'm just using God's terminology. Now, shacking up is not in the Bible, but he does use other words. All right? I just believe in that. I believe in the old way, the Bible way. We're not supposed to put man's twist to it. Say what? We're supposed to still be doing what we have been doing, whether we face the opposition or not. That means don't quit when the problems come. Don't give up. Keep on going. That's what God wants you to do. That's what be still means. It doesn't mean quit your responsibilities, quit going to church, quit serving God, and sit there and suck your thumb and have a private pity party. Everybody doing all right? I love you. God doesn't want you having a pity party. He wants you to continue doing what brought the opposition. Can I tell you something? If a storm's coming, you know the fastest way to get through the storm? Go right into it. Faster you go through it, you say, well, I'm going to try to outrun it and go around it. You're not going to do it. Best way to get through it is to go through it. Yes, sir. It's not real pleasant. Gets a little bumpy, but guess what? Go through it. You'll get through the storm faster.
Right now.
Don't go hiding in the closet either. All right. Now, don't give up. Keep on going. Number four, I'll finish with this. The refuge is there to protect you until justice can take its course. The refuge is there to protect you until justice can take its course. In the Old Testament, God had several cities set aside, and he called them cities of
refuge.
Whoops, Brother Stoltz, get those big feet out of my way. These cities of refuge were there. Let's say that somebody was driving and accidentally was in a car accident and someone was killed in it. The city of refuge was for the person who did that crime, so to speak. They would run to the city of refuge and wait for trial so that the family of the person who was killed was not able to take justice into their own hands, so to speak. And they were not allowed to judge them on their own until everything came about in a trial. If they were found innocent, they were allowed to go back home and everything was fine. But that city of refuge was so that vengeance couldn't be taken upon somebody. Does that make sense to everybody? Can I tell you something? God says he wants to be your city of refuge. He wants to be that place of refuge for you to run to and keep on doing everything that you can do that you were doing before then until all the facts come out and justice settles it. That's what being a refuge is. Now, it was a place people could go for protection until the trial. It was a place the enemy could not go and execute vengeance upon you in. God said that he wants to be the refuge for you. Can I tell you something? When the problems come, run to church, not away from church.
Amen.
And I'm going to be pretty bold when I say this. Even when somebody in church is the one offending you, run to church, not away from church.
Yes.
And don't do this, but look around. Everybody's a sinner. Guess what? It shouldn't surprise you when sinners sin. That's why it's not biblical for when somebody
goes into what you call deep sin, that the preacher brings them to church, make them stand up in front of the church and tell them all the bad things they did. Number one, you can't forgive them anyway. God does.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
Number two, God looks at it because it's been forgiven and says, what sin are you talking about? Why do you want to know about sin that God doesn't even care about anymore?
That's right.
Everybody doing all right?
Yes, sir.
It's because you want to play God. When our young people do something wrong, or our middle-aged people, or our old people, guess what? We're not going to trot them up in front of you and tell them all the bad things they did. Between them and God. Well, I know somebody in your church that did something and they were a sinner. Yeah, that's all of us.
True.
Why don't you look in the mirror, sweetheart? Yours is worse than ours. Everybody doing all right? I'm having too much fun. We're supposed to run to church, not away. Did you know you're supposed to run to that book? These are the words of God. Run to that book. Run to that book. Run to that book. Brother Arcola was able to spend a little bit more time because of being so close to Morgantown at Jamie's bedside than I was. Larry and Sherry went up on Friday and she said, boy, we got there and Brother Arcola was there and Jamie wanted the Bible being read to him. Brother Arcola was just sitting at his bedside reading the Bible and tears running down Jamie's face. Running to the Bible. Can I tell you something? Friday night, about 12:30 or so, 12:45, Jamie got to see the Word of God in the flesh. And his name is Jesus. Whew. You know, we ought to run to prayer, not away from prayer. We ought not be afraid to talk to God. You know, we ought to be running to winning people to Christ. Can I tell you how proud I am of that little lady over there, Rhonda Craig? Her husband was killed on a Wednesday. On Sunday, she came to church, stood right here in this room, and won two people to Christ.
That's a big step.
And hadn't stopped.
Hallelujah.
I'm so proud of that lady. Say, what was that? That's part of her healing. So many times we just want to run away and shut ourselves down. We ought to run to helping others. Do you know there's times I don't feel like helping everybody else? Allow me to be human. It doesn't mean I won't. You'll never know when those times are. Never. I remember the night Sandy called me, Bob. That Monday. Just a few weeks ago. 5 weeks ago. Preacher, Bob's having a heart attack. What? I said, where are you? She said, we're at City. She said, I'm headed home to get some things, but I'm coming right back. I said, call me. I'll meet you there. We walked through the door just about the same time. My wife and I and Sandy. I didn't tell you this. I was out deer hunting. I had just walked through the door. I'd passed up shooting a deer. I'm glad I did, or I'd been up to my elbows in deer guts and blood. Now, wait a minute. Bob wouldn't have cared. You say, what'd you do? I told Sandy I had to take a couple minutes to get ready because I was in my hunting clothes. I wasn't in church clothes. I threw clothes off, threw clothes on, combed my hair. What little is left. Sprayed it down and paralyzed it. Ran to the hospital to spend some time with the people I love most. I mean that. But there's days I don't always feel like it. I get selfish. I do. There's days I think, can I take one more problem? My phone went off at 1:02 on Saturday morning. And I looked down and it was from Tammy and it said, he's gone. I didn't want to answer my phone. I didn't want to look at it. But the Holy Spirit said, yes, you do. You can do it. I put my glasses on so I could see. Looked at my phone and I texted her back. And I said, I am so sorry.
But he is now walking the streets of gold and in the arms of Jesus, and he's doing fine.
Amen.
I know I can't comfort that mama right now. But the Holy Spirit can. Greg and Rhonda, I can't take the pain away. But I know who can. And doesn't mean it's taken away forever, but you learn how to let God be your refuge. Brian, I can't take that emptiness away. But I know who can. Rhonda, I can't take that away. But he wants to be your refuge. Bob, he got your attention. I wished I could take the problems away, but I can't. But he wants to be your refuge. Can I tell you something? Thank God we have a refuge.
Yes.
We have that protection. Miss Osi, I can't take all those aches and pains and problems you got right now away. If I could, I would. But I know one thing, God can be your refuge. Grace Baptist Church, I don't know what problem you have, what problem you've had, or what problem's coming, but I know this, God wants to be our refuge. Let him be your refuge. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Who would say, preacher, if I die today, I am 100% sure I'm going to heaven. I know without a doubt that I would be in heaven. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Who'd say, preacher, if I die today, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know that. Would you raise your hand? All right. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere inside that sermon was something I needed personally today. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul, scores of hands. In a moment, the piano begin to play. When the piano begins to play, we'll stand to our feet. When we stand to our feet, if you raised your hand saying, something in that sermon is what I need, why don't you come as far forward as you can and kneel at this altar? Maybe you'd like to make your chair your altar. You could kneel there. If you've been saved and never baptized and you'd like to take care of that today, you can. If you've been saved and baptized, like to join the church, we could do that.